6. What little Eli knew about being on the run was from half-remembered movies and less-remembered childhood novels about teen investigators. He didn't think either source could be thought of as reliable. He also didn't have much else to go on. He ran for 2 blocks, then slowed down and tried to blend into the crowd. He shrugged his dark pea coat off and pulled the sweatshirt hood back up. He thought about tossing the coat, but decided to leave it draped over one arm. He stopped to stare at a flyer taped to a phone pole, something about a band he didn't know playing at a bar he'd never heard of, and used it as a chance to look back the way he'd come. No one pointed or yelled, no police or enthusiastic citizens or faceless men. A good number of pedestrians strode through his field of view, but none of them seemed interested in him, or anyone else for that matter. They focused on newspapers, phones, balancing their bags, and just getting to 100 different destinations. Eli turned and kept walking away from Quincy Market, and away from his car, too. It sat in the garage north of the market, probably for the best. There might be someone watching it, or maybe the faceless man could track it somehow. So, thought Eli, what now? Finding out the secrets of the alluring Harry Pritchard and her mysterious life had lost a lot of appeal in the past half hour or so. A few seeds of fascination still tickled his mind, but a much larger part of his brain screamed, "Not worth it!" Truth was, he'd known her for maybe 2 hours altogether. He knew nothing about her, good or bad. He could go home. Just go back to his car, and if he didn't get arrested right there, drive home to safe, boring Sanders and continue with his safe, boring life. Again, assuming he wasn't arrested and hauled off to some prison or stockade or something. Maybe the faceless man would leave him alone. He had twice before. If Eli made it clear he didn't know anything and didn't want to know anything, maybe the blank-faced man would let him go home. But the faceless man had shot Theo Knickerbocker in the head, right in front of a few hundred people. No questions, no hesitations, one warning, bang. A man with no face and a Halloween mask had shot someone dead in the middle of a shopping mall, and no one had said a thing. The gunshot had caused a few screams and cries, but then nothing. Going home didn't seem like a great option. Just like finding system bugs, process of elimination, he couldn't stay here, he couldn't go back. Stupid as it sounded, he had to go forward. Eli walked 2 more blocks, coming to this decision. As his chain of reasoning came to its end, so did the sidewalk. And across the street from him sat the bus station. The hotel room had eaten a good chunk of his dwindling bank balance, and a ticket to California would eat up a lot of what remained. He knew, better than most, that bank withdrawals could be tracked, but didn't see much choice. After a bit of internal debate, he got all the money he could from the bus station's ATM, flinching at the fee, and then paid cash for the ticket. It wasn't much of a screen, but it might slow the police down a little bit, or whoever else might be following him. The route cross-country involved a few transfers, but it would put Eli in Pasadena 5 hours before Harry's scheduled appearance. By sheer luck, the bus he needed boarded in just 40 minutes. He spent the time walking from one end of the terminal to the other, watching every road and door. It probably made him look suspicious, but his nerves jumped too much for him to stand still. On the 5th time around the station, Eli saw the faceless man standing on a distant street corner. He ducked behind the bulk of a vending machine before the mask turned to aim in his direction. When he peered around a few moments later, he saw the faceless man's back. A woman's voice with a thin Boston accent called boarding for his bus, 10 minutes early. He backed away from the corner and followed the signs to his terminal. He stood in line next to the big blue bus as people slung duffel bags and rolling suitcases into the luggage compartment. He glanced over his shoulder 3 times while the line inched forward, showed his ticket to a bored man with Coke bottle glasses, then climbed up the narrow stairs. The inside of the bus looked more like a train, or what trains looked like in the movies Eli had seen over the years. The seats were set up in groups of 4, facing each other 2 by 2. A small staircase led upstairs. The bus had an upstairs. He found a seat near the window and hunched down low. He should have bought a hat at the bus station's little store, or a pair of sunglasses. He shifted the hood of his sweatshirt, hoping it settled in a position that hid his face without looking like it was hiding his face. An older man in a down coat flopped into the seat across from Eli. His skin had the color and texture of a vintage leather jacket. At least 30 years of cigarettes wafted from the man's pores. One rested behind his ear. Wrinkles along its length showed where it had been bent and straightened. Through the bus window, Eli saw a man in a dark suit step out of the station. He stood 50 feet down the walkway and held no luggage. One of the hanging signs blocked the man's face. His body turned toward Eli's bus, away, then back. A woman sat down in the aisle seat across from Eli. The cigarette man raised a brow and a wave of perfume rolled up to sting Eli's eyes. He blinked away the smell of baby powder and chemical roses. The man in the suit took a few steps toward Eli's bus. Was the suit black or very dark blue? Eli tried to get a better sense of its color and style, but the man was too far away and the bus window, while not filthy, was far from clean. A hiss came from the front of the bus. The people around him rumbled. Eli looked forward and saw a few people in the aisle adjusting luggage in the upper racks. The bus trembled. A college-age kid chose between Eli and the cigarette man and sat down next to Eli. The doors closed. Everyone had boarded, and the bus was pulling out. The floor trembled, and Eli's seat gave a small lurch. The station outside seemed to slide away. The man in the suit slid away with it. He took a few more steps toward Eli's bus, trying to keep up. Eli glimpsed a glossy plastic chin and painted lips, and then the faceless man vanished as another bus came between them. The bus swung back in a smooth arc. After a moment, Eli was looking at the back of the row of buses, with narrow glimpses of the terminal between them. Then the seat lurched again, and they moved forward. Eli was California bound.